So if you could ask for one thing, just one thing, what would it be? You've been thinking about that. Just one thing, what would it be? We're in a series on the life of Elisha. It's entitled Daring to Follow God's Call. Elisha was a prophet who dared to leave his established and comfortable life to follow God's call. Elisha was a prophet who dared to follow the leading prophet of his generation in spite of the hardship that it would necessitate. Elisha was a man who dared to become the voice of God in righteousness in a nation whose moral and spiritual decline was evident. He was the man who dared to be different when compromised religion was the order of the day. He was a man who dared to impact his generation and the next. He dared to ask God for more power. Now, learning about the life of Elisha is not for those who are satisfied with convenience, compromise, or the status quo. No, not the life of Elisha. The life of Elisha, rather, is for people who will dare to follow God's call. And you know, God is still calling people today. He's still speaking to people and dealing with people. And my challenge to you today and in this series is be daring and follow God's call. So I'm going to invite you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. This is the record of the last day of the prophet Elijah's life, at least his last day on earth at this point in his life. This day closes his extraordinary life, and what an extraordinary life he led in a world where the northern kingdom where he ministered was nothing but bad news and bad kings and wickedness on every side. Elijah was a bold man that stood. This is the last day of his life, and he shares it with Elisha. And while it was the last day of Elijah's life, this is the first day of another step in following God's call for Elisha. Now, as the occasion opens and the record of this story opens, we begin in chapter 2, verse 1 of the book of 2 Kings. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into the heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. How many of you have ever watched a TV show and the opening scene of the TV show is the way the TV show ends? And they show you an opening scene, and then the rest of the TV show tells about what happened in the events leading up to the scene at the end, right? And this is what God does in this passage. He tells us how it's going to end. Elijah is going to be taken up in a whirlwind, but he also then in the chapter unfolds the story, and we watch the events throughout the day leading up to the taking up of Elijah. So we read then in verse 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, or tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. Now they were in Gilgal. There are a couple of different cities named Gilgal, and you have to decide which one it is. One is more in the coastal plain. The other is in the mountainous region. This is the one that's in the mountainous region, and we know that because we are told in verse 2 that Elijah and Elisha went down to Bethel. So they left the higher elevated city, and they descended this mountainous terrain, and they go to a city that is in the hills. Now, this is probably the morning because it's going to take them to take this. Oh, it's about 7 miles as the crow flies, but very rough terrain. I'm guessing it's going to take them 3, 4, maybe 5 hours to take this trail that's going to lead them from Bethel or from Gilgal to Bethel. And they come to Gilgal or come to Bethel. It's maybe mid-morning at the earliest, probably late morning, maybe around noontime. And when they get to the city, you'll notice verse 3 says, "And the sons of the prophets were at Bethel." and came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? He said, Yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. Now, who are these sons of the prophets? Well, about 200 years prior to this, the prophet Samuel began training preachers. They're called in his day the company of the prophets. And over the years, company of the prophets, this school of prophets, think of it as a Bible college, it sort of just ceased over time. It just went into, it just fell apart, I would guess, especially now in the Northern Kingdom. Because remember, Northern Kingdom, if you're a prophet, that's a bad place to be. Ahab and Jezebel, they're killing prophets. This is a bad time to be a prophet. And in the ministry of Elijah, there is a resurgence of the office of the prophet. And so they started up these Bible colleges again. One of the locations of the Bible college is in Bethel. And they're training these preachers to be the next generation of prophets. And they come to this city, and God had revealed to these prophets, and evidently to Elijah and Elisha, that this was going to be his very last day. And they, can you picture it? Here they come, Elijah and Elisha, and they walk into Bethel, and they pull Elisha aside. And hey, right now, if I use the wrong Elijah or Elisha, how many of y'all just work with me on it, all right? Would you work with me? Thank you. The early service, they work. I do the same thing with Jonah and Noah. I do that, so if whenever I talk about Jonah, I mean, just work with me, all right? Great. Okay, super. So Elijah, I did it. They say to Elisha, hey, don't you know? The Lord's going to take your master, thy master from your head. It's his last day. Don't you know? Yeah, I know it. I don't want to talk about it. Just let it go. Well, then you'll notice the Bible says this, and Elijah said unto Elisha, verse 4, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he went, and he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came down to Jericho. And they go to Jericho. It's the other place where the Bible college is. And you'll notice when they get to Jericho, and they're crossing from the rugged terrain they've been through. Now it's more rolling hills, and they'll cross through to Jericho, which isn't going to be too far from the coastal plain of the Jordan River. And they get there, and we're told the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, Knowest thou not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? He answered and said, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. So now it's going to be mid-afternoon at the earliest, probably getting later afternoon. They've spent the entire day together. Now they have a number of miles, not too far, but they're going to take that last number of miles and they're walking to the Jordan River. Now the evening is getting closer and closer. It's not going to be too long when the sun sets. It's not too long until Elijah will leave. It's his last day. Elijah knew it. Elisha knew it. The sons of the prophet know it. And they make their way. And they're crossing now the edge of the Jordan River. And they come to the edge of the Jordan River. I want you to keep reading and watch what happens. And Elijah said, I'll read verse 6. Tarry, I pray thee. And of course, Elisha said, No, as my soul lives, I'm not going to do it. Verse 8. Verse 7, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by the Jordan. Can you picture it? What are these preacher boys doing? These preacher boys are saying, we've got to see what's going to go on. And so 50 of them, now they're stealth, right? They're far enough away that they're not interrupting what's going on, but they're watching it. And they watch as Elijah and Elisha come to the River Jordan. And what's going to happen? Would you have done that? Oh, come on. How many of you are ambulance chasers? Be honest. How many of you, you know who you are? You know who you are. I saw the policeman. Wonder what he's doing. How many? Sure. And so here's what happens. And it came to pass when they were gone, this is verse 9 over, that Elijah said, I missed one, didn't I? Verse 8, and Elijah took his mantle, that's his cloak. Remember, the mantle was the sign of his prophetic office. He took his cloak, his mantle, and he wrapped it together. He takes it off and he folds it. And he smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Wow. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they went on, and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind unto heaven, and Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes and he rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said to him, behold, now there be thy with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray, and seek thy master. Thus, peradventure, the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him to some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. But when they urged him still, till he were ashamed, he said, send. And they sent therefore 50 men, and they sought for 3 days, but found him not. When they urged him till he, or verse 18, I'm sorry. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did not I say unto you, go not? Now, in this portion of scripture today, I want to share with you 4 challenges that everybody faces when they follow God's call. Remember, this is the last day of Elijah's life and ministry on earth at this time. But this was the first day of a new dimension of God's call to Elijah. And you will find in your life, whenever you are willing to follow the voice of God and follow God in your life, you will find that you will, in your life, whatever that stage of life you are, whatever the call of God is for you at that time, you will find that these challenges will be true for you. And if you are going to be daring and bold and follow God when He calls, then you need to come face to face with these 4 challenges. Here's the first one. Are you ready? The first of the 4 challenges when daring to follow God's call. The first is the change challenge. The change challenge. We first met Elisha 10 years ago. 10 years before, God had called the prophet Elijah. He was bold. He was lonely. He went through a very difficult time. And God said, Elijah, I'm going to give you a friend, a companion, who's going to be the prophet in thy room. Do you remember that? And he said, his name is Elisha, and he goes to Elisha's hometown. And when he gets to Elisha's hometown, he sees Elisha, and Elisha had his own life. He had an established life. He was in agricultural business. You remember, he was out, happened to be 24 oxen, 12 teams of oxen, and they're plowing the field, and he's plowing the field. And he's a man who is very well established. And God calls him to be the prophet. And when God calls him to be the prophet, he says, I'm daring to follow God's call. And he says, I'm all in. Do you remember that? And I challenge you, are you all in when God calls? And he told Elijah, I will follow thee. And for 10 years, he was Elijah's servant, his companion. Elijah trained him to be a prophet. He had left everything 10 years ago. And now, after 10 years, his life was about to change again. He lived in the shadow of Elijah. He lived in the power of Elijah. Elijah was the voice for God. Elijah was the spokesman. He was now in a place where he's becoming the senior prophet, if I can put it that way. His life was about to change. All that he knew in those 10 years, everything was about to change. Another major change. And he had to decide again at this major change in his life. Am I still all in? Now, I'm going to tell you, in your life, there are always going to be changes of life. There are going to be changes in your stage of life. There are going to be changes in the events in your life. As you go through each of these changes, you're going to have to decide, am I going to be all in and follow God as He's leading me through? When God calls me to more other changes, am I all in? God is going to deal with you about your thinking. Remember, we are to be renewed, Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2, by the renewing of your mind, a transforming of your thinking. And when God deals with the way that you're thinking, to transform your thinking process to follow His truth, and He's going to change you. Are you willing to be all in? That's a big thing in your life when you realize my thinking is not right. I need to get my life and my thinking rearranged. For some, God is dealing with you about being born again, truly being converted by trusting Christ. And God is dealing with you and you realize who Christ is and you realize your sin and the judgment that's to come. God, the Spirit, is dealing with you. But your real question is, am I willing to repent and be all in and give myself to Jesus to be saved? See, there are always going to be in your life, as God deals with you and you follow God's call, there will always be times when we must change. And it finally happened in verse 11. He knew it was coming. This day was a day that they knew was coming. But now, after all these years, this day finally came. And notice what happens. Verse 11, it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. Now, try to imagine this. I don't even know if I can in my greatest imagination picture what it's like. But imagine this, that all of a sudden out of heaven comes a chariot of fire drawn by horses of fire. And the two of them are talking and you'll see it says it goes, brings them asunder. So there's right between them, and Elijah's taken up, and then you continue to read it and you realize that Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more, and he's gone. He's faced with a change. How do you respond when you are faced with the change challenge? How do you do? Are you willing to follow the Lord when the calling that He has for you in your life means change? Change isn't always good, but change isn't always bad. In fact, you cannot go with God and stay where you are. If you're going to follow God's call, it's always going to require change. It's like the bachelor who got his first apartment. His mom had pampered him. Oh, she had pampered him. And now as a bachelor, he's moving into his first apartment. And he had never made a cup of coffee. So he bought himself a coffee maker. And there's a lady in his apartment complex. And he said, excuse me, could you tell me how to make coffee? And she gave him step-by-step instructions on how to make coffee. And a few days later, he passes her in the hallway and says, she says, hey, how's it going with coffee? And he says, well, to be truthful, it went okay at first, but lately it has been really terrible. And by the way, how often should I change the coffee? See, you can't go where you are or stay where you are and go with God. He is transforming you into the image of Christ if you've been born again. If you haven't been born again yet, He wants to translate you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. You can't stay where you are and go with God. God always calls you to change. How many of you like me have found the change challenge to be a real challenge in your life? You better believe it. So there's the change challenge. Well, there's a second challenge that Elisha faced on that day. And it's the challenge that I've already talked to you about and you've been thinking about. I'll call it the inquiry challenge or the question challenge. And it brings us to the question that I mentioned already before. If you could ask for one thing, what would it be? Now, you've been thinking about this. You have what is it that's on your mind? The one thing. If you could ask for one thing, what would it be? Elisha had the opportunity to ask for one thing. We read about it, verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, here's his request. This is what he, of all the things he could ask for, here's what he asked for. I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Everything he could ask for. God, would you give me power? Elijah, I have seen the power of God in your life. It's a reality. I've seen how you are. I've watched the God work in your life. And if I could have anything, I want an overflowing experience of your power. Now you think about what you asked God for, that one thing you're asking God for. Because what you ask God for tells you an awful lot about your life. And that one thing you're asking God for, I want you to ask yourself this question. You're thinking about it. I want you to ask yourself this of the one thing you're asking God for. The thing that if there's one thing I could ask for, whatever that is, does it have eternal implications? Does it matter in eternity? The inquiry challenge. See, whatever it is that God calls you to be as He's speaking to your life, and whatever it is God calls to do, whatever it is that God is calling and dealing with you about, whatever that is, I'm going to tell you that if you're going to follow God's call, you can't do it in your power. You need supernatural power. The inquiry challenge. Well, there's a third challenge. Write this one down as well. Here's the third challenge. The third challenge is the continuance challenge. The continuance challenge. Well, on this day, they started in Gilgal and they went to three different places, right? They went first to, where'd they go first? They went to Bethel. And remember what happened, chapter 2, verse 2, Elijah, before he even leaves, he says to Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said to him, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they go to Bethel. Well, then at Bethel, Elijah says, "Hey, Elisha, I've got somewhere else I'm going to go." Look at verse 4. Elijah said to him, "Elisha, tarry here, for I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." He said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. Well, then they are in Jericho and they come to Jordan. And he says, verse 6, "Tarry, I pray thee," as Elijah says, "pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. And they cross over the Jordan. And when they cross over the Jordan after spending the entire day, even when Elijah said to Elisha, "Hey, just you can hang out here for a while." "No, I'm not going to leave you." 10 years ago, Elijah called, or God called Elisha to follow Elijah. And Elisha said to Elijah on that day, 1 Kings 19:20, "I will follow thee. I followed you for all these years. It's the last day. I'm not going to leave you today. I'm going to finish it all the way to the end. Now, let me ask you this. How are you doing as a finisher? Starting is easy, right? Isn't it exciting to get started? But if you really want to follow God's call, you have to understand that you're going to have to continue following God. Continuance. Now, there was one condition that God gives to Elijah. After they spent after the whole day was spent and after all these years. And the one question that was, "What can I give you? What can I do for you? I want your spirit." And there is one condition. Did you see the condition that God tells Elisha through the words of Elijah? Verse 11 or verse 10. Elijah says to Elisha, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken away from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." See, if you want God's power, you're going to have to be willing to stay and follow the Lord all the way, all the way, all the way. See, I don't know if I... Man, I've invested 10 years. But he didn't get the power that God promised him until he was willing to follow the Lord all the way. There's a great Bible word that everybody that dares to follow God's call understands and has to learn. It's the word patience. Now, how many of you, the very fact that I said patience, you say, "Oh, woe is me. I wish you wouldn't have said that word. That word's already getting me." Yeah. Well, in the scriptures, patience has a couple of different meanings. When you read it in the Bible, you want to think patient endurance. Sometimes it means to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear unto me." There are times when you just have to wait on God. How many of you know what it's like to have to wait on God? Is it hard to wait on God? Have you found out a challenge in your life to wait on God sometimes? Yeah. James addresses this subject. James chapter 5. You don't have to turn there. I'll turn to it in my scriptures. James chapter 5, verse 7. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. You know, Jesus is coming, and stay with it. Endure all the way through. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your eyes on that Jesus is one day going to come. Keep focused on that. And then he gives us a picture to help us to understand it. And he says, behold the husbandman. When we read husbandman in our Bible, what's a common word we would use today? What is it? Talk to me. Farmer. Yeah, farmer, talk to me. You don't get to talk, especially at Stanley Heights. You don't do a lot of talking, right? Talk to me. Sure, farmer. A husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. And in the springtime they plant, and you have the springtime rains. The summer in the land of Israel is very hot. It's a semi-arid climate, and it's hot and dry, and then in the fall you'll get some more rain, have a long growing season, and you've got early rains and latter rains, and those latter rains sometimes are just what you need to give moisture to that crop to bring it ready to all the way to harvest. And all the while the farmer's just waiting. There's fruit that's going to come, but he has to wait for it. Can't make it grow any faster. Can't make the rains come. You just have to wait. And then he tells us this. James chapter 5. I'll keep reading. And he says, verse 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Learning to wait on God. Sometimes it means just the patience of waiting. Sometimes it's the patience of enduring. And the author of Hebrews uses a different word, but he describes the patience of enduring. He says, it's like running a race. Let us run with race, Hebrews 12:2. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This is a long run. Your trek is a long trek, so endure. When you get tired, keep running. Keep running. In the trek of your life, and how about the trials of your life? We're in the book of James, and James begins with this very same truth. And in James chapter 1, he opens up with the theme of enduring in the trials that take place in your life. And my marker fell out, and I, for the life of me, am having a hard time finding it. Is James still in the New Testament? Is it still in that New Testament somewhere? Someone help me there. There we go. My brethren, verse 2 of James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You better believe it. See, all those trials are part of God helping you to learn to stay with it. To continue. And in fact, God tells us about not just that they're helping you to stay there, but it tells us what God is doing while you stay under the pressures of the trials that you have in your life. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let, verse 4, patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. That is all God wants you to be, and entire, wanting nothing, so that you lack. And God says, the only way that I'm going to make you the man that God wants you to be, the only way that I'm going to make you the woman that you could be with my power in your life, the young person, is if you'll go through the trials that come into your life and you'll stay with it, and you'll stay with it, and you'll stay with it. Oh man, the pressure's on. Things have happened and things are bad. You have nowhere else to turn and turn up. Lord, help me. But what happens when things start to get a little better? And the pressures are off. You stay and continue, or do you just go back to doing things your own way? Because the pressures are gone. Or sometimes things happen and you come to that point and oh God, help me, God, help me. And you seek the Lord, but it isn't getting any better. You thought it would get better, but sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. Some things may never get better. And it doesn't meet your expectations. You say, hey, listen, you're going to have to, in your life, face the challenge of continuance. Will I stay with it and walk with God and follow God? Whatever God calls, am I going to follow God's call? Now, how many of you know that's a challenge in your life? Well, there's one more challenge we're told about. The last challenge that we're told about in 2 Kings chapter 2 on this last day of Elijah's life, but the first day of a new chapter for Elisha following the call of God for his life, is what I will call the conquest challenge. The conquest challenge. So Elisha watches Elijah and he's taken up in a chariot of fire. It's like a whirlwind. And I can picture this as he goes, he's standing there and the chariot comes through and Elijah is picked up by the chariot. And he feels the heat and he watches it and it goes up into heaven and then it's gone. But there was only one thing of Elijah's that was left behind. What was it? Tell me. The mantle. Oh, that mantle. How important was that mantle? When God met with Elijah down in Mount Horeb, when he was at his lowest point in his entire life, he thought God had given up on him. And he met with God. That mantle, Elijah, covers his head because the glory of God was so great he couldn't stand in the presence of God. All through his ministry, he had that mantle. Whenever God called Elisha, Elijah takes his mantle off and casts it on the shoulders of Elisha. Oh, Elisha knew exactly. This is the mantle that demonstrates the call of God and the power of God. Elijah's gone, and the mantle is left, and Elisha knew exactly what it was. He is the next generation prophet, and he has to decide whether he will take up the mantle. He lived all of his ministry in the shadow of Elijah. Elijah's gone and he has to find out, is the power of God true for me too? I ask God for his power. I asked for a double portion of the Spirit. I asked God for his power. And as he picks up the mantle, I'm sure he's wondering, is God powerful enough for me? And he comes to the edge of the Jordan River. And remember, there are 50 prophets watching him. And they're wondering, Elijah had power. Does Elisha have God's power? A number of years ago, how many of you were ever at the Chattanooga Rescue Mission on the 8th Street property? How many of y'all were ever on the 8th Street property? Okay. Well, I had to go down to the Rescue Mission for the 8th Street property, and it was late in the afternoon, and the men and women were gathering outside that property across the street. And if you were there, you could probably picture this in your mind. And there always are parking questions down there when the mission was there. And so I pull up and it's late in the day and all I can do is parallel park. Now, how many of you will, like me, aren't that really that great at parallel parking? How many of you just admit it? All right. How many of you know someone who thinks they're better than they are at parallel parking? Yeah. You're afraid to admit it. Okay. Okay, where am I going to park? There's no place to park. I'm going to have to parallel park. And guess where I have to parallel park? I have to parallel park in front of all the men that are gathered there waiting to go into the shelter. Now, parallel parking, I'm not all that great at it anyway. But with an audience, oh, man, the pressure's on me. Oh, man, what are they going to do? And, oh, Lord, help me. If you need supernatural power, it's parallel parking in front of people. That, if you need supernatural power, that's it right there. Lord, help me. So I backed my car in, and I did about typical for me, which, you know, that's what it is. That's just what it is. And I get out of that car, and I'm thinking, oh, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? And you can imagine what I even got this morning, early service, after service, had a guy come and give me some instructions on parallel parking. Let me show you how to do it. He gave me how to do it. And, oh, I mean, they had a great time. You can imagine. They had a great time with my parallel parking. And so here's Elisha, and he's at the Jordan's edge, and he has the mantle, and he has 50 sons of the prophets, and they're watching. Does God's power work for him? And really, in this whole passage, it turns on verse 13 and 14. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And all the sons of the prophets were told, verse 15, when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now here is the challenge. The challenge is, can God's power work for you? Because you hear other people share testimonies how God's power worked in their life. And you've seen God's working in other people's lives. But when you come to that point in your life where you realize God's calling and God is dealing with me about a change of my life, about another direction, about what He's speaking to my life, and I realize there's a challenge ahead, the question I have to ask, is God real to me? Oh, yeah, God can do it for him. God can do it for her. And I hear the testimonies. And yeah, but is that true for me? That's the conquest challenge. And when God calls you to whatever that conquest is, I'm going to tell you his power is enough. And when you doubt, we all doubt, I'm telling you, believe God, his power is enough. And when other people doubt, because you, isn't it funny to read the rest of this chapter, these other guys? Well, hey, you know what? We got 50 guys here. They'll go out on an expedition in case the God Almighty dropped him out of the chariot. Now, you think how ridiculous that is. They watched a chariot of fire come from heaven and take him up. And then they're like, maybe you ought to go. We'll send him out. Maybe God dropped him in the mountain. Maybe he dropped him in the valley. But, you know, God dropped him. He's like, no, it's not going to be that way. And in fact, you see the scripture? They kept on and kept on and kept on. He's like Elijah, the Bible puts it this way. They kept on till he was ashamed. He said, fellas, you're embarrassing yourselves. All right, go ahead. For 3 days, they're looking for him. High and low. Did God drop Elijah somewhere? We got to find him. God lost him. After 3 days, they said, this is ridiculous. And they come back and Elijah says, can I use it the way you would like to say it? See, I told you so. How many of y'all like to do this sometime? In the right spirit, of course. I told you so. You see, sometimes other people won't believe. If God calls you to, they won't believe that God can do it. But you better believe when God calls. When God calls, God will do it. And you've got the challenge in your life right now, and you say, I don't know if I can do this. You can't. But God can help you. His power can work for you. Am I the only one that ever questions God like that? Am I the only one? God's power can work for you. It's like the old gal, or the gal who came from the city, and she was asking the old farmer about hens and said to the farmer, which is grammatically correct to say a hen is setting or a hen is sitting? And And the old farmer says, "Well, I guess I don't know that one, miss. And it really don't interest me none. What does interest me when I hear a hen cackle is if she's laying or if she's lying." So what's your challenge? Hey, God's calling you to face it. Be bold! Dare to follow God's call. Would you stand with me, please?